Welcome to part 7 of a 7-part series that we're concluding here on Easter Sunday. And let me just pause right here and say a heartfelt welcome to all those who join with us each week online. So glad to have our online campus here with us. Come on, everybody, just give it up for online campus. So glad you're here. Happy Easter, everyone. Yeah, come on, everybody. I think you can give a warmer welcome than that. Yeah. So awesome, so awesome. We are in a series that we've entitled Red Letter, and we're taking 7 weeks to, as one person said, read the red and pray for the power. If you've got a Bible like mine in the New Testament, when it's recorded the words of Jesus, it's written in red. And so we're just referencing the words of Jesus, and we believe that as we do that, we study the words of Jesus, there's some reveal in there of who he is. There's some personality traits, there's some attributes, there's some things about Jesus that we discover. And that's very important because, listen, our goal in this series has been to know him better. And the problem is that many times we have an incorrect view of who Jesus is. Sometimes because of our experience, maybe even in church, it may be that we have viewed Jesus through the lens of the media or entertainment or an artist. Even a Sunday school flannel graph, we just think he's just this historical figure that lived 2,000 years ago, but what has that got to do with me? Well, we're discovering that as we study the words of Jesus, that actually he is someone that is really personable, and we need to get to know, because how you view Jesus is really going to affect how that you relate to him, and it's going to directly affect your relationship with him. And so we're opening this up, and we're looking at this, and we're studying this and going through this series. So I'm gonna unpack this last installment of this series. But before I do that, I do want to bring your attention once more to this connection card. We do this on Easter Sunday, oftentimes, and where we take this opportunity when we have a lot of people in the house to sort of take a survey. And so what we're asking you today is, if you look at this card, and again, there's no gimmick here, but this really does help us. You'll notice that there's a card there at the bottom of the first page there that says prayer request. And by the way, we take prayer very, very seriously, and there'll be an opportunity for prayer at the end of this service. I'll have our prayer team be here, and they'll be here even after the service for you. Just find somebody with a prayer lanyard on, and they'd love to pray with you about any needs that you may have. And also, our prayer team takes these and prays over these very seriously. But on the flip side of that, I want to bring your attention to this morning. It says questions and comments. And here's what I'd like you to do today, sometime during this service, as you think about this. If there is a topic that you would like to hear about, maybe you have some questions about something related to faith or Christianity or the Bible, and you'd like to hear about it, we'd love you to write that down. It may be stress or doubt or something about end times or just whatever your question may be. We'd like you to put that down. Maybe there's a theme that you'd like us to discuss. Now you say, well, Pastor, I thought you were supposed to pray and just get all that directly from God. Well, I do pray and I seek the Lord's guidance, but let me just point this out. That in the New Testament, we see that the disciples oftentimes would ask Jesus questions, and he would answer their questions. So they would kind of set the agenda, and he would address that. And so I think it's a great opportunity to be able to do that, to allow you an opportunity. And so what we're going to do, we're going to take your responses, and we're going to build a series around that. We're going to try to stay ahead of the game. We're going to plan a series in the fall. And so it's going to be built around your responses. We'll take the top 6 responses, and we'll build a series in the fall. We'll be addressing these top responses from you this fall. So I encourage you to take a moment sometime in the service, just right there where it says questions and comments. And if you don't want to know who it comes from, then it's perforated. So you can just tear it off. And later we're going to receive an offering, and you can just let this be your offering. You just put that in there if you like, and we can just take that and just utilize it. That really does help us. Again, no gimmicks there, but it really will help us. And just hold on to that card, because I'm going to refer to that at the end of this message for another purpose. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I want to begin to unpack this series, but I just want to kind of recap very briefly as we've went through these 7 weeks read the letters of Jesus. And we're really setting the record straight of really who he is and what he says to us. And in week 1, we discovered that he is my best friend. We found out that he did not just come only to die on the cross, but he actually lived 33 years doing life and experiencing life on every level, just like we do, so that when you and I go through something and when you and I have a bad day, he can relate to that. He understands. He's been there. He's actually interceding to the Father for us, praying for us, and he can relate to where we are. And so therefore, he qualifies to be our best friend. And by the way, if you missed any of these, all of these messages are archived. You can listen to these again online. Also, the message notes are there available online. And by the way, today's installment is going to be, there's message notes available in your worship guide that you can fill in some blanks and follow along with us. And by the way, if you're watching online, those are there available for you as well that you can download right now, today's message. Week two, we talked about the teacher. We found out that he leads by example. Week three, we discovered that he is the miracle worker. Anybody need a miracle? I think we all at times need a miracle. Well, Jesus is still the miracle worker today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Week four, we discovered that he is my shepherd. My son brought a message that week entitled My Shepherd, and I'm telling you, it was powerful, powerful. Be sure and check that out, because listen, you're not doing this alone. You have a shepherd. He's there to help us and guide us through life. And then we talked about also week five that Jesus declared himself to be God. And if that shocks you, go check that one out, because there's some reality, there's some truth there that you need to hear from God's word. And then last week we talked about that Jesus is the Lamb, which is probably one of the best descriptions of Jesus, that he became the sacrificial Lamb for us. Well, today we're talking about this fact as we read the words of Jesus, and we discover that he is, as we know this today, this is Easter, but he is risen. But not only is he risen, but he is coming again. He is coming again. Amen. And so today's going to have a little bit, I'm going to deliver something that's a little bit different than I've delivered probably on Easter Sunday before, where we really primarily focus on the fact that he's risen. And we're going to talk about that. But where I want to also get into the fact that there is still yet another chapter, and that is that not only was he buried, died and buried in the tomb and rose again, but he's also coming again. Amen? And that's good, good news. And so I want to begin, if you have your message notes, you can follow along with us. I want to begin with this theme verse that we've been using for this series. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul said, "You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy." So we're not here trying to impress anybody today. But rather, here's what we're trying to do. As Paul said, "I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified." Amen? And if I can add to that, "and risen and coming again." Amen? And so when we look at this truth, though, I want us to understand this. On Easter Sunday, we all know we're here. We know this is an Easter tradition. And around the world, people celebrate Easter, that Jesus was risen from the dead. What I want us to also realize is that there was over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament of Jesus, of him being the Messiah, and many about his death and his resurrection. And some of those were prophesied even thousands of years before he even showed up on this earth, and yet he fulfilled all of those prophecies. I want you to understand the meaning of Easter, of course, yes, is resurrection. And what that simply means is that he has defeated death. And when we think about death, death is the opposite of life, right? We talk about life and death, issues in life, right? And we also know this, and that is that God is life. God is life. And apart from him, there is no life. Or in other words, there's death. And we serve a God that is perfect. But sin separated us from him. And because sin separated us from him, there was a penalty, or we could say a result. There was a result. Because God is life, and apart from him there is no life, we're separated from him. Guess what the penalty is? It's death. It's death. Or we could even say it's the result of. But yet God so loved us that he sent his son Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, to take the curse of death for us, that we could have life. But as he took that death upon him, he defeated death for us. We could not conquer death because we were guilty and deserving of death. But Jesus, in him there is life, he took away the curse and the sting of death itself. And that's why we celebrate Jesus Christ risen again. Amen. Because he defeated that for us. And I'm going to give you a few scriptures today that are not in your notes as well. So if you want to take extra notes, just write some of these locations down that you can study and look at later. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says this. It says, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Look at this. Verse 55 says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, or one person said, O grave, where is your sting? Verse 56 says, for sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. In other words, we recognize because of the law, we are wrong and we are sinners. And by the way, that's all of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you're living in sin, or if you're not in the right place, or you have sin in your life that you're struggling with, guess what? Welcome to the club. We're all sinners. But look at what happened. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news, everybody. So nothing you and I can do to save ourselves, nothing you and I can do to change the sin condition, but God knew that, and he knew we needed a Savior, and I love it. You see, sometimes we think Christianity is just about a bunch of rules and the laws hanging on the wall, and I can't do all those, and I can't be good enough, and I can't do all those things. But God knew that. In fact, I believe God knew that in so much that he frustrated us to the point that we recognize we couldn't do those things, and we recognize that we need a Savior. That's why we need a Savior. And by the way, it's not about just being good enough. God didn't just come to make bad people good. And sometimes we think, well, Christians are just a bunch of good people. But listen, God didn't come to make bad people good people. God came to bring people who are dead to life. And the Bible says we're dead in our trespasses. In other words, we're in this place of bondage. We're in this place, we're trapped. It's our nature. We have this sin nature. We're trapped in this thing called death. We're walking around in this death condition because we've been separated from God. But Jesus came that we might have life, amen, and life to the fullest. He came to set us free from that. That's good news. That's good news. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 also says this. Now this is powerful. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Now get a hold of this. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, when we belong to him, lives in us. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living in you. That's powerful. What kind of power did it take to raise Jesus from the dead? Well, the Bible says that same Spirit lives inside of you. So here's what I want us to get from this. He is risen, and we know that. And we say, well, that happened 2,000 years ago. And when I die, well, yeah, I'll need some resurrection power then when I die to come to life again, right? You're telling me that. But what I want us to see this morning is that now, in the here and now, we can experience resurrection power because of this truth, and that is that there is the same Spirit, listen, that raised Jesus from the dead, quickens our mortal bodies, the bodies that we live in. He is able to live inside of us and bring us to newness of life in him. In fact, if we study Scripture, we discover that the resurrection is not just an event. Now, we've got it on the calendar. We celebrate the event of Jesus' resurrection, but it's more than an event. It's much more than that. The resurrection is a person. It's Jesus himself. In fact, Jesus had a friend by the name of Lazarus who had died and was dead for 4 days. And Jesus came upon the scene, and they were all mourning and crying, and they said, Jesus, you're too late if you had been here. But what they realized, listen, it's never too late for Jesus. And I don't know, somebody might need to hear that today. Whatever your condition is or how bad it's been or how long you've been in that place, it's never too late for Jesus. And Jesus reminded them of who he was. And here's what he said. He said that he is the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 11, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. That's powerful. What is he saying? He says, do you believe this? So when we look at death, when we realize what Jesus has done for us, yes, there are those that will die and be separated from God, But if you have accepted the resurrection and the life, listen, when we leave this body, we're just going to step into another body. Come on, we're going to step into the presence of the Lord. And one day God's going to resurrect us and we have a new body. Come on. It's going to live forever and ever. So it's just a doorway. So he said, and that's why he could say, they'll never die because they're going to experience life in me. So we realize that he's risen. But notice another thing, and that is, not only is he risen, but he is coming again. And understanding the reality of this promise and this eternal hope will change, listen, how you live in this present world here and now. So it's not saying, well, I just can't wait till he comes back. Lord, just help me to make it through. And if you just help me to make it. It's more than that. When you recognize the hope of the resurrection and the promise that he's coming back again, it not only changes your eternal future, but it's going to change your temporary now. Because it's going to change the way you live. It's going to change the way you see life. It's going to change everything, even in the here and the now. He not only arose, he ascended. Listen to this. And he is coming again. And I want us to get this reality. Of the 27 books of the New Testament, 23 talk about his return or the end time. 300 verses in the New Testament talks about this. Jesus talks about his return. And I know when we talk about the return of Jesus, we're also talking about the end times. We're talking about Revelation, y'all. And I know Revelation kind of spooks us out. You know, we read over there and we're talking about 666 and the Antichrist and forehead marks and things like that and all kind of things. And it kind of, you know, now some of you are all about that. Give me more. That's what I need. I need to study Revelation. Some of you are like, that kind of scares me. Can we talk about something else today? It's Easter. I want to talk about something happy. Well, here, I want to present something to you that I believe will be a breath of fresh air, a fresh angle on this, that's not just about terrifying you into coming to Jesus, okay? But understanding the hope of the second coming of Jesus, and I believe this will be hopefully the most encouraging word you've ever heard. And I know that when you think about the thoughts of Jesus coming back, some of us want that to happen, some of us really don't want that to happen, because, you know, we think we're going to be up in this cloud, a little white fluffy cloud, and we're going to have this pot belly like you're going to be those fat angels, you know, with the harp. Have you seen those pictures, you know? And some of us are working on that already, you know, I'm just saying. But we got these images in our mind. We're going to float around, have little wings, float around, and then we also don't want to come back and mess up what's going on today. You know, it's like, you know, when I was about to get married, I'm thinking, Lord, you're going to come back. I know, right, as she's about to walk down the aisle, God, can you wait one more day? I mean, you know, some of you got things you plan. You got your heart set on this life, and you're thinking, but can I just tell you something? It's going to be more than you could imagine when Jesus is coming back, when he comes back, and everything is going to change for the good, for the good. Let me just set the stage here. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to the earth in a literal body. He lived his life. He spent the first 3 years in ministry, and the last 3 years in ministry. And he brought us the gospel, the good news about how to live and how to love and truth. And he died on the cross, and he paid for our sins once and for all. And the wrath of God was satisfied by his sacrifice on the cross. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And for 40 days, he appeared, and he spoke with people, and he popped through walls, and he left his final words, his final message, which we call the Great Commission, which gives us our purpose and what we're supposed to do on this earth. And then the Bible says he ascended. After he spoke those words, there was the great ascension. And then these words were recorded. As he was ascending up, look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, and it records this. It says that after he said this, he was taken up before their eyes. So he ascended. He is risen. And he ascended, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Look at verse 10. They were looking up intently up into the sky as he was going, and when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven," look at this. Everybody say it. Come on, say it with me. "Will come back." Come on, say it aloud, not a soft. "Will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So he is coming back for us. And so there was clouds that received him up, and then he left in a body, and he's going to return in a body. He left in a cloud, and he's going to return in a cloud. In the same way he was received up, he's going to come again. The bottom line is that Jesus is coming again. This needs to be declared today on Easter Sunday. He's not just risen, He is coming again. And it's all throughout the Bible, entire chapters of the Bible devoted to this truth. In fact, the entire book of the books of the Bible devoted, and one out of 30 scriptures talk about the end of time or Christ's return. I've been told that a poll said that there was a third of Americans watching events in the Middle East and what's going on around the world think that it relates to the end of the world. Another poll said that 62% of people in America believe in a literal return of Jesus, which was kind of odd because the same poll said that only 40% of them follow Jesus, which I'm wondering, okay, what about the 22 people? I don't know, dude, I don't understand that. But anyway, you know, they know He's coming, but okay, no problem. I want to unpack some scriptures for you and get a little more in-depth in this. But let me share with you three things that are going to happen regarding His return. Number one, write this down. He will come unexpectedly. Unexpectedly. For all those that want to know when He's coming back, when and what, and where are we the generation to see the Christ, coming of Christ's return, the Bible teaches us that He's coming back unexpectedly. We don't know the time. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3, Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives and the disciples came to Him privately and said, tell us when. When is this going to happen? What will be the sign of Your coming in the end of the age? And Jesus basically told them that He did not know, that even only the Father in heaven knew. But can I just tell you, I believe the horse is there and it's ready. And He's ready to mount and He's saying, Father, can I go now? Because we can see and we can look around us, there are birth pains all around us. Jesus said, just as a woman has birth pains when she's in labor, there are signs that it's getting ready to happen. There are clear signs of the times. If you want to study these, there's a chapter in the Bible devoted to these. It's Matthew chapter 24. And you can study this on your own. And as you survey this, you'll discover that all of these signs of His coming are being fulfilled or have been fulfilled, which means that we are in the generation, I believe, to see the return of Christ. To which some of you may be thinking, yeah, but every generation could have said that. But there are a couple of those that could not have been fulfilled in any other generation that are unique to our generation. The Bible says that there would be wars and rumors of wars, but we've always, you might say, had wars and rumors of wars. The Bible says there will be an increase of earthquakes. We're seeing that ramped up. We believe that the earth is groaning from the stress of the curse that is on the earth, and it's longing for that day of release. There's going to be an increase of disease, it tells us, and we're seeing that now. And you could say that's always happened, and perhaps so, but I believe today is unprecedented as never before. But there's one verse that we see that the Bible declares that the gospel will be preached to all nations. And we're not even talking about all nations geographically, but rather people groups. It's ethnos in the Greek, which means people groups. And in some nations, there could be hundreds of people grouped into one nation. Mixologists say that there's just over 2,000 people in just over 200 nations of the world. I actually had somebody on the growth track just recently whose mother is translating into languages now. It has been, never before have we been able to reach these nations. Listen, now you can fit, where's my phone? You can fit your Bible into a phone. You can reach into an app. And the technology is there as never before. The translations are there. We're reaching these groups. And we're the first generation that's done that. And the Bible says that when the gospel is preached to all these people groups around the world, then the end will come. No other generation could have said that because of the technology, because of the day in which we live. The gospel is being preached currently to all the world. We are in the generation that could see the return of Christ. And Matthew 24 teaches us a lot about this. In fact, Matthew 24, verse 40 says, Jesus says this about His return. He says, two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So He is coming unexpectedly. He is coming suddenly. He is coming without warning. He's coming. And the Bible, even 1 Thessalonians says, for you know very well that day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. We are living in a very unique generation. If you look at a chart of history from Christ time till now, you'll see over the past 2,000 years the conversions, and there's a gradual small incline of people getting saved. But in the last 10 years, that line has went straight up. people are coming to Christ. We're living in a time where we're seeing people come to Christ at exponential rates. I understand that there may be probably, according to statistics, probably 35,000 Chinese come and be saved today. Today in one day. Come on, that's worth giving God praise for. It's amazing what's happening. You don't see this on the news, but it's happening today on an unprecedented scale. This is happening. We're seeing a rapid growth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We live in a very unique generation in seeing this all happen, to which you would say, I'm seeing more wickedness today. And I don't see all that. You could be right on that as well. 50 years ago, the world of believers was kind of close, and a lot that separated us. But now we're on polar opposites. We see that in our generation of today. A lot of people on earth, and the wickedness on the earth is getting more wicked. But I believe it's birth pains. Simply put, either way, you don't know when he's coming, and when it could happen, and it's when you least expect it. And here's a second thing I want us to see. A lot of times we preach end times and Revelation, and we talk about cataclysmic things and catastrophic things and apocalyptic things terrorizing us, and we see this whole deal. But I want us to see the beautiful side of this. The real motivation for Jesus to return to earth is not so he can come and annihilate the earth. The real reason that Jesus is coming back is that he's coming back to get you. He's coming back to be with you. He's coming back to get his church. One of the things I love to share in our growth track as we talk about the Passover and we talk about why we do things as a church, we know that when Jesus referred to the cup in the Lord's Supper there, that last Passover meal with his disciples, he referred to it more than one time, because that fourth cup that he said, I'm not going to partake of this until I'm with you in heaven. And if you understand Jewish custom, you'll understand that that is the cup which represents the Messiah, which they believe is yet to come. But it's also called the cup of fulfillment. And what Jesus was saying is, I'm not fulfilled until I'm with you in heaven. When we're around the marriage supper of the Lamb one day, that's when I'll partake, when you're with me. Can you get a hold of this? Jesus wants to be with you and me. And the reason he's coming back is to get you. Is to gather his family together, because he's coming to get his church. So look at number two. He will come to get his church. Write that down. The main motivation of the Lord Jesus is to be with you. I'm going to come back to this verse in the closing in a moment, but this verse in John chapter 14 and verse 3, Jesus says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. He wants to return not just because he's fed up with the planet. He wants to return because he wants to be with you and I. I hope that encourages somebody. I hope that's encouraging to you. He wants to be with us. Jesus longs to be even physically with us. In fact, this is how this is going to play out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are alive and are left will be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And look at this. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Hey, everybody. That's good news. That's good news. I'm telling you, it's good news when you understand that we're going to be reunited with some people we haven't seen, where you said goodbye, but you got to understand that was just a comma. It wasn't a period. There's another chapter. Come on. You're going to see those people again. You're going to reconnect with them again. Amen. Grandparents and children and aunts and uncles, we're going to gather. We're going to meet together. We're going to be with the Lord. The Bible even goes on to say, comfort one another with these words. It's comforting to know that. And then Jesus is going to take us to heaven. He's going to establish a new heaven and a new earth. And there's a lot of great misconceptions about eternity. But I believe we're going to be on our face casting our crowns and worshiping the Lord. But we're not just going to be there forever flapping our wings and playing a harp forever. No, God has a plan for us, and God has eternity all prepared for us. And God's going to also establish a precondition of this earth. I believe that, he's going to establish a new heaven, the Bible tells us, and a new earth. And Jesus himself will sit as the throne and as our king. Now, I want you to get hold of this on Easter Sunday, what this means, okay? That means there's no more politics and there's no more elections. Jesus is our King. Come on, everybody. Jesus, right? He's going to establish, many theologians believe, a pre-fall condition to the world. So some of you that are worrying about the earth blowing up, and you're preserving everything, and that's good. We're supposed to till the ground. We're supposed to be, you know, caregivers of the ground, and I get that. So I'm not disrespecting, but I just want you to know something. One day, it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. God's going to purify it. God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Now, this isn't a fairy tale. This is God's word. This is the truth of God's word. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And when it happens, it's going to be more beautiful, I believe, than ever before. And the scripture articulates what this place is going to look like. Listen to this. There's not going to be any more crying. There's not going to be any more pain. Some of you are sitting here possibly in chronic pain or listening online in chronic pain. And the doctors don't know what to do. And we're living in this place as a result of the earth being cursed by sin. But Jesus wants to come and get you and restore the earth and take care of, and take all that junk out. Come on, everybody. In that place, there's not going to be any more funerals. There's no more death. There's no more insurance. Sorry for all you insurance salesmen. There's no more insurance. There's no more taxes. There's no more. Hey, so I got a whoop on taxes. There's no more medicine. There's no more hospitals. Come on, everybody. Bible says it's gone. The Bible says the old order has passed away. Everything new has come. There's no more counselors. You don't need the counselors. You've got Jesus Christ as your King. There's not even going to be a sun or a moon because Jesus is going to be the one that lights it all. Amen. There's no shadow of turning with Him. There's no shadows. It's just all light, just glorious. Amen. Think about this. It's perfect. And I've even heard this is getting kind of crazy here, but somebody said that there's not going to be any more rain. Now, I like that. For those of you that don't know it, I work a secular job. I'm a mailman outside walking in the rain. Now, I've heard there's going to be no more rain. I don't know if it's true or not, but in the first earth at the beginning, the water just come up out of the ground and just watered the earth. God had this in-ground irrigation system that would just come up and water the earth. I just think that's an awesome thought. That blue skies out there, we get that every day, y'all. Come on, every day. And God just, I don't know. We'll find out, okay? But I'm just saying, it's going to be great. I'm just telling you, you know, when it started raining in Noah's day, what is that falling from the sky? That's a curse. That's part of the curse. That's just what happened, you know? Think about it. And I just got to say it. Come on, I just got to say it. The hot light is always on at Krispy Kreme Donut every day. Come on, no traffic. Come on, everybody. It's just good news. I'm just telling you. I guess if you thought it was just going to be in a choir forever and floating around on wings and whatever, you might just want to just take your time with that. But when you read the truth of what's going to happen, listen, you long for His return. Matthew 25 and 34 says, "Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" He's coming to get His church. He's coming to set up life like it was intended to be. No more insulin, no more headaches. Come on. Never anybody to ever bury again. Come on. Everything's going to change. It's going to be awesome. It's hard to even imagine. But He's coming. He's coming. He's coming to get His church. Look at another thing. He's coming to judge the earth. Now, no one really wants to get fired up on this one. This is not an Easter one, okay? This is like, I don't want to hear about judging. No one wants to be judged. We live in a generation. Now, don't judge me. Don't judge me. You ain't perfect. Don't judge me. You don't know. Don't judge me. Don't judge. Judge not so you won't be judged. And so, but let me just tell you, well, don't judge me because you ain't perfect. Well, guess what? Jesus is, so deal with it. I'm just saying. He's coming our way. Judgment is coming. Revelation says this, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it, and the earth and the heavens fled from His presence, and there was no more place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. The death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done." Now, judgment is coming, and the reason judgment is coming is God is just. Justice will be heard. It's going to happen in my life, in your life. But get this, he's going to pay back trouble to those who have troubled you. And if someone has been mean to you, stolen from you, hurt you, or used you in any way, listen, don't repay evil for evil, the Bible tells us. Keep a pure heart, for your king is going to settle that account one day. Just saying. And he will give relief to those of you today who are troubled, feeling sick on the inside, troubled. You're going to get that relief. But there's going to be a judgment coming. 2 Thessalonians says this, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those who are troubled and to you as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's pretty heavy stuff. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes. To which you're saying, well, yeah, Pastor, that's pretty harsh. But actually, it's not so harsh because God is actually delaying his return because he is patient, not wanting any to perish. But look at this. Judgment's coming. And our loving, merciful, forgiving, compassionate, long-suffering God is doing everything he possibly can to get as many people as he can to understand that he paid for that judgment for them. He made a provision that you do not have to pay for it by yourself. Listen to this. Those who go to hell, those are the ones that just insisted on paying for it themselves, okay? And it's completely not necessary. Hell is just a place where you go to pay for your sins. But why would you do that? Because Jesus has already paid for it for you. But there will be some that will reject that. Be clear, church. It's a literal, constant, tormenting place that really he never intended for you. But if you reject his message, justice is coming. This is something I must preach. And so I desperately want you to know that I don't want that to happen to you. But in fact, there is also judgment and justice coming to all of us. But listen to this good news. If you know Christ, guess what? Your sins will never be mentioned, not even once. You know why? Because the Bible tells us that they will be remembered against us no more. They'll be cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. So when you talk about a judgment day and God bringing up all your past, and you've seen these pictures of God bringing up all that's going to be embarrassing. When you know the Lord, guess what? He's not going to bring up one of them. Because they're already paid for. Amen, everybody. That's good news. That's good news. But Christians will stand before the Lord in a second type of judgment, and it won't determine whether you get into heaven or hell or not. You're going to get into heaven, but it's not based on. But it's based on the final work of what Jesus did on the cross. That judgment that comes to us. Okay, so we praise God for that. But he's going to reward us. It's called judgment seat of Christ. It's for Christians and believers, and we're going to determine the rewards that we receive of the things, of the deeds that we did on this earth. But here's the deal. That's why we need to make the most of our lives and use the resources and time and everything he's given us to make the biggest difference we can for eternity. So I beg you, on this Easter Sunday, if you've rejected God or you don't know God and you don't know what to think of this, check it out. He's paid your bill. Judgment is coming, but he's already paid for that. I encourage you to receive what the Lord has done. Isaiah 55 and 6, 7 says, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy. Look at this. This is his response. He'll have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. No questions asked. Sins forgiven. It's the most important thing that you can do with your life. So what do we do with all this? If Jesus is risen and he's coming again, and he is, if judgment is coming and it is, and all this could happen very soon and it probably will, what do we do now? I want to bring you some info and understand how important this is. And this can alter, when we do this, it can alter our life. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 1 says this, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. There was a charge, and I want to charge you with a few things, okay, as we pull this together, and that is number one in this. if all this is going to happen like it's going to happen, let you and I do everything we possibly can, first of all, to reach people. And that's why if you're here today and someone invited you, what we're trying to do is just reach people. If you received an invite card and somebody invited you to come and be here today, we're just trying to reach people. If you know the Lord, your one assignment is very simple. That day is imminent, and it is, and it's going to happen, and it is, and everyone is going to be judged, and they are. Come on, everybody. Let's do everything we can to make sure that no one has to pay for their own sins. Isn't that good? And that's never easy, to be a person who's committed to living their life on time on earth, that once you found Christ, to seeing as many people come to Christ. It's expensive, it's hard, it's a lot of work, but it's worth it. And I want to remind you of that. Jesus sacrificed everything so that we could spend eternity with Him. Jesus said, "Work while it's day, for the night's coming when no man can work." Jude 1 says this, "Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them." Why? Because we live with this reality, right? And then secondly, we're going to stay focused on reaching people, and we're going to stay focused on eternity. Number two, focused on eternity. Stay focused on eternity. If you get anything on this earth working for you, it will from time to time let you down. Honestly, there's things that we go through on the face of this earth, and sometimes good things happen, but on our worst of days, things happen. Anybody in the world can have one of those days where earth lets you down. And from time to time, let's just be honest, from time to time, life actually stinks. It lets you down. It's not all that. And if you have all your eggs in the basket of the hope of this earth, it's going to mess you up. It's going to mess you up. Our hope is not a better earth. Our hope is that Jesus is coming back and there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. Amen? 2 Corinthians says, if in this life, I love this, if in this life we have hope in Christ, only, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If it's just in this life, if all your eggs are in everything working out for you, you know, got the kids in place, got them in college, got the retirement worked out, if all your eggs are in this basket, it's going to let you down. It's going to disappoint you. But there's hope. The Bible speaks of a blessed hope. Titus says this, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is a blessed hope in Him. Listen, I want us all to be full of hope that God is going to intervene on this earth. Again, all the chronic pain, the sickness, the disease, the wayward children, the traffic, the insurance, the taxes, everything, whatever it is. The ultimate hope is the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come back one day. Again, I just want to speak to you today. There's none of this long list of stuff we're going through. Jesus Christ comes to encourage us, and so we fix our eyes on Him. 2 Corinthians says this, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Is eternal. When I was growing up, we would have what we called sang-ins in church. Sang-ins. The older generation got this, okay? Sang-ins. Not singings. Sang-ins, okay? And you gather around the piano, and, you know, you just ask somebody, which one do you want to sing? And you call out a hymn number or this or that or the other. But as I reflect, a lot of their songs were not about now. They were about this blessed hope. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'm going to fly away in the morning. That was my line, in the morning. You know, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Come on, everybody. There's a hope that we have. And what'll happen, though, is when you understand the hope of His coming, it'll make the way you live on this earth be totally different. It'll change everything. It'll change everything. The best message, though, that I can give you today is this. Jesus is coming again, and he is. Be ready. Write that one down. Be ready. Be ready. You don't want to miss this one. 2 Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will roar, or the heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So what do we do to get ready? It takes a person who is ready to receive what Jesus did on the cross by putting your faith and your trust in him. And can I just say this? I think this is very important we say this in our world and our society today. This thing that we're talking about is faith in the red letters. It's faith on God's word. It's believing in God, and not just believing that he existed, but believing to him to the point that we believe on him. We put our life in him. We trust in him. And that faith is based on the truth of God's word. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our faith is not based, get this, now listen to this very closely. Our faith is not based on feelings. And see, a lot of times I think as Christians even, we put a lot of emphasis on feelings. And feelings is great. I love the fact that God's able to give us emotions and feel this thing. But can I tell you, your salvation is not based on feelings. It's based on the truth of God's word. And let me say a second thing that we need to understand this morning as we pull this to close. Faith is more than a belief system. It's not just believing that he existed. It's following him. And a lot of people think Christianity is just about a belief system. They just believe these things. No, it's more than belief. It's following Jesus. It's he's now Lord of our life. And let me give you probably the best word in that, and that's this word called surrender. It's when you give him control of your life. It's whether the question is, are you going to control your own life or are you going to give him control? The best thing I can tell you to do, the best thing I can encourage you to do today on this Easter Sunday is to surrender the control of your life to him. Because guess what? His plan is so much better than your plan. He loves you beyond what you could imagine, and he sees and knows more than you and I know and see. And he's able to work a plan that's amazing in your life. I want to encourage you today to surrender the control of your life. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about giving him your life. And it's good to join a church, but I'm talking about giving him your life. And then you become in this place where you fall in love with him and you long for his appearing because you want to be with him. Here's what I'd like us to do. I mentioned to you that I was going to refer back to this in closing. I want you, everybody, to take out this connection card. Everybody, not just first-timers. Come on, this is for everybody. You've been here 25 years. This is for you. On the back of this card, there's some letters. It says A, B, C, D. You can give us your information on the front, that's fine, but I want you to just focus on this information, this ABCD blocks. And we're just kind of do a spiritual survey here. And this helps us kind of just know where we are and what also we can pray about. And here's what these boxes represent. A represents this, and that is I'm already in a real relationship with Jesus. If you're in a good relationship with Jesus, I want you to just indicate on there. Just check that box. I'm A. Come on, everybody do this if you would. But if that's you, say, I'm already in a real relationship with Jesus. B is I'm beginning a real relationship with Jesus. I'm ready to begin that today. I want to begin today a real relationship with Jesus. You're ready to make a decision today. If that's you, just indicate B on there. And then C is this, I want to consider it a bit more. You're not sure. You're checking this thing out. That's okay. Just say, I just want to check this out a bit more. I want to consider this. Just check number C, letter C. Okay? And then D, and this is the one that kind of rattles us a little bit, but that's okay. I want you to be honest. D is you're saying, I don't ever intend on making that decision. And if that's you, be bold and just go ahead and be honest and check that. I will say that if you check that, we will pray for you. You may not want us to, but we're going to pray for you anyway. What we found is sometimes people that check D will come back a year later and they're going to check, they check B. I'm checking because we're praying that you'll be able to see really who he is, for who he is, the truth of who he is. After you've checked that, would you bow your heads with me this morning? If you've checked B, or maybe you didn't even check it, but you know that you need to make a decision for Jesus. It may be that you had a relationship with him, but you know it's not where it should be, and you're ready to recommit. You're coming back. Or maybe you're coming for the first time. Whatever that looks like for you. But you know, you need to do that thing of surrendering and allowing him to be the Lord of every area of your life. I want to lead you in a prayer where you're sitting. I'm not going to have you stand or embarrass you or have you come to the front. Nothing like that. But while heads are bowed, eyes are closed. While we're seated. You'd say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, when you lead that prayer, would you count me in? Come on, be bold. Slip up a hand right now. Just without hesitation. Say, that's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Yes, good job, good job, good job. Yes, I see your hand. Good, great, over here. Great, good job. If you're watching online, join us. Join us. I see. Yes, good job, good job. Awesome. Can I just help you with the words and all you got to do is just mean it? Let me lead you in a prayer. And can I get everybody to pray this out loud for support for those that need to pray it? Come on. Just pray something like this from your heart. If you need to pray, just mean it. Just say, today, God, I come to you. Thank you for giving your son to me to die on the cross to pay for my sins. Lord, forgive me for going my way. I receive you now. I'm asking you to come inside. Make me brand new. Forgive me for going my way. I turn to you now. By faith in what you did, I receive you. Thank you for paying my debt for me. I receive the payment in full. Thank you for purchasing me and my freedom. Come on, just pray this. Say, God, I give you my life. Say it the Bible way. I declare you Lord of all. Help me now, Lord, to follow you. Give me the power to live this out and follow Jesus. In your name I pray. Thank you, Lord, for every person, God, that prayed that prayer today. I celebrate with them life. I celebrate with them the best decision they've ever made. Now, Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, you would guide them step by step. Lord, you would fill all the empty places, that you would be their satisfying portion, that experience peace and newness that's found only in you, Lord Jesus, and discover their purpose for which you designed them, God. Help them to live this thing out one step at a time, day by day. And Lord, we thank you for the fact that we know that you came, that you died, that you were buried, and that you rose again. And Lord, we're so thankful that you're coming again. For that hope, God, we give you all praise and honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. 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 Awesome.